It is January 19th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. This morning we have a video from the History of Financial Futures, an interview with William Nottenbelt about his career, which started in commodities and shifted to financial futures in the mid-1980s. Nottenbelt, who just left the CME Group, started at Zarnikau, a commodities firm, as an accountant, but quickly switched to the trading side. He eventually switched to NatWest and helped grow its financial futures business during a period of dynamic growth in futures. When the Royal Bank of Scotland bought NatWest, he became the global head of futures for RBS. It was from there, after RBS was saved by the government after the financial crisis of 2007-08, that he joined the CME Group. We also have a podcast interview with TMX Chief Operating Officer J. Rajarthinam, who spoke to JLN about TMX's recent investment in Vettafi, which it describes as a U.S.-based privately owned data analytics indexing digital distribution and thought leadership company. It's not surprising that with all the news of trouble Barry Silbert and Digital Currency Group, or DCG, are having, that some outside parties would be interested in buying DCG's CoinDesk's subsidiary. The Wall Street Journal reports CoinDesk has received several inbound expressions of interest and offers for the DCG media arm for north of $200 million. That would be a handsome return for a company Silbert bought for $500,000 in 2016. Also in the world of crypto, the U.S. Department of the Treasury has made a bust that reinforces my original negative crypto worldview that crypto was created primarily as a more economical and efficient means to launder money. Hong Kong-based cryptocurrency exchange BizLotto was designated under a section of the Patriot Act for allegedly laundering illicit funds for ransomware actors based in Russia, the Wall Street Journal reported. In something that sounds like it is from a Marvel movie, BizLotto allegedly exchanged $700 million with a darknet marketplace named Hydra Market, the U.S. Justice Department said. Hydra Market was shut down in April of 2022. I believe Captain America had something to do with shutting down Hydra. Here is a quote from the remarks by Deputy Secretary of the Treasury Wally Adeyemo on action against Russian illicit finance. Because of its significance in operations in and connection to Russia and Russian illicit finance, BizLotto threatens U.S. national security, the integrity of the U.S. and international financial sectors, and businesses and institutions worldwide. The Federal Reserve has reported that Chair Powell tested positive for COVID-19, is vaccinated, has mild symptoms, and is working remotely. Vikas Shah, a former managing director at Rosenblatt Securities, has joined Seven Ridge as a managing director. Gary DeWall wants you to know that Canton Mutual LLP will present its, quote, annual financial markets and regulation crystal ball event at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, January 19th. For more information, you can go to a link in today's newsletter. That's today, by the way. Ray Salvador has accepted a new position as Director of Trading and Operations at Adelpha Asset Management. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's our video. William Nottenbelt, The History of Financial Futures, Part 1. William Nottenbelt said he likes to call himself a third-generation commodity trader. Both his father and grandfather were commodity traders and had their own firms in Indonesia. Despite that background, Nottenbelt said he thought he wanted to be an accountant. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's our podcast. Investment in Vettafi sets up TMX to grow information business in Canada and globally. TMX recently invested in Vettafi, which it describes as a U.S.-based, privately owned data analytics, indexing, digital distribution, and thought leadership company, and TMX operating officer J. Roger Thinam spoke with JLN about the investment and other happenings at the exchange group. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Crypto media outlet CoinDesk taps bankers for potential sale. Company has received numerous inbound indications of interest, CEO Kevin Wirth says. CoinDesk Inc., a crypto currency-focused media company, has retained investment bankers at Lazard Limited to help it explore options, including a partial or full sale, according to its chief executive officer. Over the last few months, we have received numerous inbound indications of interest in CoinDesk, CoinDesk CEO Kevin Wirth said, my comment, a bargain for something just north of $200 million is my comment. Here's a story from the New York Times. The headline, how to invest as a debt ceiling crisis looms. The risk of a federal debt ceiling breach later this year has increased. Steel yourself for trouble, our columnist writes. But remember, this too shall pass. Crises are always lurking in financial markets. I'm worrying about a possible recession, rising interest rates, rampant inflation, and the continuing economic effects of war in Ukraine and the COVID-19 pandemic. But I have been for months. But now it's time to add to that list the threat of a catastrophic breach of the federal debt ceiling, which could conceivably come to pass sometime this summer. Even now, with the odds of an eventual crisis clearly rising, it is difficult to accept that it might really happen. My comment. I will be on Joan Esposito's radio program this afternoon at 3:30 to talk about this. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. French champagne sales rise to record 6 billion euros as exports surge, bottles shipped abroad in 2022 surpass sales on French market. COVID lockdowns dented industry by shutting down travel. Champagne sales topped 6 billion euros, or $6.5 billion, for the first time last year as exports outside France surged. Total shipments increased 1.6% to 326 million bottles, according to a statement Wednesday from the Comité Champagne Business Organization. Exports of the sparkling wine produced in the region east of Paris increased while sales of the domestic market fell. My comment, champagne sales up as Party City goes bankrupt? What's wrong with this picture? Here's a story from Sky News. Bringing cake to the office is harmful as passive smoking, says chair of Food Standards Agency. Professor Susan Jebb, the Food Standards Agency chairwoman, said workers should think twice about bringing unhealthy treats into the workplace, which might tempt colleagues. She told The Times, we all like to think we're rational, intelligent, educated people who make informed choices the whole time, and we undervalue the impact of the environment. My comment, I don't bring donuts to the office anymore, mostly because I don't have an office to go to anymore. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. Supreme Court poised to reconsider key tenets of online speech. The case could significantly affect the power and responsibilities of social media platforms. For years, giant social media networks like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram have operated under two crucial tenets. The first is that the platforms have the power to decide what content to keep online and what to take down, free from government oversight. The second is that the websites cannot be legally responsible for most of what their users post online, shielding the companies from lawsuits over libelous speech, extreme content, and real-world harm linked to their platforms. My comment. Are you ready for some things to get crazier on social media? Oh, boy. All right, here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline. This is the headline of the day, is my comment. The clowns of Cryptoland haven't given up. Making money out of failure is morally bankrupt. The story is by Jemima Kelly, you might have guessed. You would be forgiven for thinking that with Sam Bankman-Fried awaiting trial over the allegedly epic fraud at FTX, the collapse of a raft of crypto platforms, and U.S. regulators suing two major crypto firms for selling unregistered securities, the clowns of Cryptoland might try to stay below the parapet for a while. But sadly, you would be wrong. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Wall Street Journal's A Crypto Magnate Saw the Risks and Still Was Hammered. Second was Fortune's A Millennial Founder Who Sold Her Company to J.P. Morgan for $175 million allegedly paid a college professor $18,000 to fabricate 4 million accounts. Their email exchange is a doozy. It's the second time as number two in the top three. Third was NPR's Three Events That Will Determine the Fate of Cryptocurrencies. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Our first story, the top story in the leads, is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is, Crypto platform Bizlato charged with laundering more than $700 million of illicit money. Treasury Department also designates platform as primary money laundering concern. A rarely used sanction used mostly against banks. U.S. authorities designate cryptocurrency exchange Bizlato Limited a primary money laundering concern and charged its founder for allegedly facilitating money laundering for criminals. The Treasury Department designated Bizlato under a section of the USA Patriot Act, a law used to combat money laundering and terrorist financing, for allegedly laundering illicit funds for ransomware actors based in Russia. This type of action, a rarely used so-called death knell action that cuts off the entity from the U.S. financial system, has been used mainly in the past against banks and other financial institutions, and in most cases has forced the institutions to close. And then here's another story, this one from the Financial Times and Gillian Tett. The era of financial markets ended in 2019. What comes next? Davos decision makers are at a crossroads over which way the world is headed. Earlier this week at the Davos World Economic Forum, I dined with fellow attendees at the Hotel Schatzalp, a former sanitarium that featured in Thomas Mann's novel, The Magic Mountain. It felt oddly appropriate. In Mann's 1924 work, Life in a Tuberculosis Sanitarium reflects a profound sense of an outside world in flux. The political and economic structures that had dominated Europe in the 19th century had recently been decimated by the First World War. Nobody quite knew how to articulate the new era. Phrases such as the Roaring Twenties had yet to emerge, and the Great Depression was still a few years away. And then the last story is from the New York Times. The headline is, FTX founder gamed markets, crypto rival said. Sam Bankman-Fried found ways to control the prices of digital coins to benefit his companies. FTX and Alameda, according to crypto cryptocurrency investors. In Sam Bankman-Fried's quest to keep his cryptocurrency empire looking profitable, the disgraced founder of FTX often promoted newfangled digital currencies that crypto aficionados came to call Sam coins. Mr. Bankman-Fried wooed the developers of these new coins with names like Serum and Maps, insisting that they make their trading debuts on the FTX exchange. Then his hedge fund, Alameda Research, would buy some of these newly listed SAM coins to prop up their value, while Mr. Bankman-Fried used FTX's influence in the crypto industry to drum up interest in those coins and persuade other investors to also buy significant amounts. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.